Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter and Katie Weaver. Later, Marcia James will bring us this week's People in America report. But first, in many areas of the United States, tourist season lasts less than half the year. Businesses that operate only a few months out of the year say they make most of their profit when tourists visit, called peak season. The owners of many of these businesses say they are unable to get Americans to work for them. That is probably because the wages are low and the work is temporary and mostly unskilled. Many of these jobs are in restaurants and hotels. Many years ago, American teenagers filled these positions. But fewer do so now, and they are only available for 3 months during the summer. In many tourist areas of the country, there also are few young people. Many people have retired and do not want to work anymore. So these businesses depend on foreign workers. These workers are permitted to come to the United States and work using an H-2B temporary visa. This year, however, the limit on H-2B visas has been reached, and some employers are worried that they will not be able to continue operations. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has said the H-2B program hurts the wages and job opportunities of American workers. However, before he was president, Donald Trump employed H-2B workers at his golf club in Florida. VOA recently went to the coast of the eastern state of Massachusetts, where spring and summer arrive later than in other parts of the country. Jane Nichols Bishop operates an employment company. She helps business owners find workers from places such as Jamaica and the Philippines. She says, without these workers, it is difficult for some companies to care for their customers.
Who's going to make the beds, clean the bathrooms, serve the food, cook the food, do the dishes? There isn't anyone here to do it. Not enough anyway.
Bishop submitted 171 applications for businesses for H-2B workers. Only 24 were approved before the limit on the number of such visas was reached. She says she is bringing just 300 H-2B workers to the area instead of 3,000. Alan Sylvester operates American Tent and Table, a company owned by his family. He says the company earns 80 to 90% of its profits in 5 months during the spring and summer. That is when many outdoor weddings take place. He employs 7 to 8 Americans and 13 H-2B visa workers. He says it is difficult to find Americans willing to work for just 5 months of the year. He says the lack of American workers and the lower number of H-2B visa holders may cause his yearly revenue to fall by up to 20%. He says it is difficult to hire foreign workers.
And there's a stack of paperwork like this you have to fill out. It's nothing anyone would do. Anyway, I would say anyone who's smart enough to own their own business wouldn't be dumb enough to use the H-2B program to fill their employees if there was another way to do it.
Before companies can hire foreign workers using the H-2B visa program, they must show that they have first tried to hire Americans. Jim Underdahl is the general manager of the Kunameset Inn. He says problems with the system have caused a delay in the arrival of the workers. As a result, he says businesses like his have decided to employ full-time workers even when travelers are not visiting. Businesses call this the off-season.
I don't want to lose those employees, so I have people in the kitchen that we work 40 hours for the winter. So they're not going to leave me. They're going to say, hey, they're treating us good. They're going to be here this spring. They're going to get me through.
If the businesses are not able to find more workers, they may have to open later, reduce services, or change the way they operate. Businesses in the state of Maine, just north of Massachusetts, are also having problems finding workers. The state, which calls itself Vacation Land, needs thousands of foreign workers every summer. Greg Dougal is the president of the Maine Innkeepers and Restaurants Association. He told WCSH-TV that businesses in the state may only get one-third of the 3,000 workers with H-2B visas that they have asked for. Businesses hope Congress will make changes to the H-2B program to expand the number of foreign workers permitted before April 28th as part of federal budget legislation. Currently, the program permits 66,000 foreign workers to come to the U.S. with H-2B visas. The limit was reached in March. Some bills being proposed would permit workers who are returning to some jobs to not be counted in the 66,000 worker limit. If the legislation is approved, as many as 264,000 H-2B workers could be filling jobs in the U.S. this year.
Pope Francis is making final preparations for a trip to Egypt. His visit begins on Friday. It comes just weeks after deadly attacks against the country's Coptic Christian minority. This will be the second time a leader of the Roman Catholic Church has traveled to Egypt, the most populous Arab country. Pope John Paul II visited Cairo in 2000. Earlier this month, two terror attacks targeted Coptic churches in Alexandria, Egypt's second largest city, and the northern city of Tanta. More than 40 people were killed, and more than 100 others were injured. The attackers exploded bombs as they stood among people gathered for prayers at religious services. The bombings took place on the Christian observance of Palm Sunday. They were the latest in a series of attacks against Egyptian Christians. Recently, Islamic militants carried out an attack on Christians in El Arish, a town in the northern Sinai Peninsula. The violence caused some Christian families to leave the area. Egyptian editor and publisher Hisham Kassem spoke to VOA about Pope Francis's visit. He said the trip was planned before the recent suicide bombings. Kassem noted that it takes place at a time when Christians are facing the brunt of terror attacks and their security in the country is in jeopardy. Pope Francis is expected to meet with Egypt's president, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. The Pope will also meet with religious leaders, including the head of Egypt's Coptic Orthodox Church, Pope Taodros II. Francis and Taodros will then meet with Egypt's Grand Imam, Sheikh Ahmed al-Tayeb, at Al-Azhar University. The Orthodox Patriarch of Constantinople, Bartholomew, is also expected to attend the gathering. A papal spokesman told Italian media that Pope Francis would not be using an armored vehicle because of concerns that it would keep him from meeting the Egyptian people. A spokesman for the Catholic part of Egypt's main Coptic Orthodox Church discussed the visit with local media. He said Egyptian Christians were expecting a message of peace and solidarity, as well as a message of hope. Egypt has the largest Christian population of any Arab country. About 10% of Egypt's 90 million people are said to be Christian. Egyptian political sociologist Said Sadek told VOA that the papal visit will be good for Christians and the government. He said it will show the world that Egypt is stable. He said this would help the country's travel industry. The effect of the attacks on Coptic Christians has been to increase distrust. Both the president and Prime Minister Sharif Ismail have accused other countries in the area of involvement in the attacks. However, they would not name those countries. Arab media reported that the Islamic State group claimed responsibility for the bombings at the Coptic churches. Egyptian government media said terrorists in the Sinai have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood group and the Palestinian group Hamas. They have stated that both groups have support from several countries in the area. I'm Mario Ritter.
Last week, we reported about Facebook's efforts to develop a system to permit people to type directly with their brains. Such technology could help hundreds of millions of people who cannot read or write get their thoughts in print. It could also make communication easier for people with limited movement ability. The possibility is interesting, but it is far from the only plan announced last week at the Facebook Developers Conference, or F8. Facebook officials also offered similarly wild ideas. How about technology that permits you to hear with your skin instead of your ears? Or maybe you would be more interested in a system that lets you play games and visit your friends in augmented and virtual reality. Facebook says it plans to make these activities a reality within the next 10 years. Or not. Not every Facebook venture is a success. You do not see many Facebook phone users, for example. Someday, we may tell our grandchildren that we used to hear through our ears. That is because Facebook might make it possible for us to hear through our skin. This technology could help people with limited or no hearing ability. Facebook hopes to have your skin hear the same way your ears hear. The company says one test subject was able to hear 9 words through her skin. Facebook also wants to improve your reality by adding to it through the use of special glasses. The glasses are designed to show users things that are not physically present. You could be sitting in your living room, looking at an empty table. Then put on Facebook glasses and see a chess set on that table. You and a friend could play chess on that set using Facebook glasses, just as if you were sitting across the table from each other. You could also control what your friends are seeing when you live stream video to them on Facebook Live. Add an image of a cup of coffee to your table. Make it steaming hot. Then add a second cup so you do not look as if you are alone. Facebook says you will be able to add frames, sports equipment, drawings, and more to your videos and photos. It says you could even create your own frames to share. Facebook Spaces is a new virtual reality tool designed to let users hang out with their friends around the world as if they are together in the same place. Spaces will use avatars people create from a photo of themselves on Facebook. These avatars will appear in Spaces so you can hang out with kind of a cartoon version of your friends. You view Spaces through a virtual reality viewer and can invite others via Facebook Messenger. Spaces lets you visit with your friends in virtual places around the world. A video shows how Spaces lets friends get together in virtual worlds. I'm Katie Weaver.
Jason Sturm says he cannot remember what it was like to have 2 legs. For 14 years now, Sturm has used an artificial limb called a prosthesis, where the lower part of his left leg once was. The metal leg attaches about 8 centimeters below his knee.
It was just 14 years ago. And the reason why is because I know that that is the old me. That is not the new me. The new me is what is here now.
The new Sturm is athletic, fit, and strong. He has a beard, short hair, and a tattoo on his right arm that reads, "Reject your sense of injury," and the injury itself disappears. Sturm's injury happened in March of 2002. He was 22 years old. He had joined the U.S. Army after high school and was taking part in a military training exercise at Fort Drum in New York. An artillery round missed its target. Instead, it exploded less than 2 meters behind Sturm. The explosion killed 2 soldiers. Sturm survived, but his left leg was severely injured. For 8 months, Army doctors tried to save Sturm's leg. They performed surgeries and other treatments, but nothing made it work again. So Sturm chose to have a medical operation to remove his leg.
I had already disassociated with my leg. I had already seen it as it's a dead limb. It's doing nothing but holding me back.
2 months after the surgery, Sturm tried on his first prosthesis. Physical therapy treatments helped him return to basic everyday activities. After the accident, Sturm gained more than 20 kilograms. He was out of shape and overweight, like he was when he was a kid. He decided to change. Sturm slowly returned to doing sports and activities that he had always enjoyed, like weightlifting and running. He even started learning new sports. In 2011, a friend sent Sturm a list of workouts. His friend said to him, "Hey, you should try this stuff. It's called CrossFit."
And I looked at all the things that these people were doing, and I was like, there's no way I can do that as an amputee.
But as he often does, Sturm decided to push himself. Within 1 day, he says, he was hooked. Still, it took months, even years, for Sturm to learn how to do some of the difficult exercises with his prosthesis. CrossFit is an intense exercise program. It combines movements from several different sports and activities. It is meant to strengthen a person's core and work on conditioning. Just 1 year after he first tried CrossFit, Sturm became a CrossFit coach. He started training people known as adaptive athletes, like himself.
What an adaptive athlete is it's someone that requires a permanent adaptation to do specific movements. So I require a prosthesis to do the movements that I do in CrossFit. So therefore, I am an adaptive athlete.
He says one of the most important parts of coaching amputee athletes is helping them trust their prosthetic device.
There's just a level of mistrust and discomfort.
Sturm also tries to give his athletes the tips and tricks and tools that they need to get stronger. It did not take long for Sturm to notice that CrossFit felt similar to the Army. CrossFit is a group workout. People in the classes motivate each other to finish the exercises, just as soldiers push each other in the Army. Sturm says he hopes more injured Army veterans give CrossFit a try.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to get vets to have an understanding that you, that same social camaraderie that you had in the military, that same feeling you got when you worked out with your entire unit in the military, can be reenacted by coming into a CrossFit gym and work.
At first, Sturm coached CrossFit while also working a full-time job. Then, in 2013, he decided to go back to school to study kinesiology and exercise physiology. Kinesiology is the study of how the body moves. And in 2014, Sturm decided to quit his job and spend more of his time coaching CrossFit athletes. Sturm calls working with adaptive athletes one of the most rewarding parts of what he does.
Every amputee is different. Even if you find someone that is set up exactly like me and looks like me, their adaptation and their needs are different. So working with adaptive athletes is something that literally is a driving force to make me a better coach.
Today, Sturm lives in Northern Virginia. He is vice chairman of Crossroads Adaptive Athletic Alliance. The nonprofit group helps bring together amputee athletes and their coaches. Last year, Sturm and his wife, Rachel, opened their own CrossFit gym in Ashburn, Virginia. It is called Old Glory Gym. The sign on the gym was inspired by Sturm's Army unit's official sign. He replaced two swords with two bench press bars in the design. CrossFit is not the only sport Sturm has learned since his accident. He also learned how to bobsled. The winter sport involves guiding a big, fast sled down a steep, curvy, icy path. Just as he did with CrossFit, Sturm took to bobsledding quickly.
One day, a gentleman out of Park City, Utah, just sent me a message and said, "Hey, would you like to try out for as a brakeman for the U.S. para bobsled team?"
A brakeman pushes the sled at the beginning of a race and then stops it with brakes after it crosses the finish line. Brakemen do not steer or drive the sled. Just months after trying out for the U.S. team, Sturm traveled to Europe in early 2015 for his first ever bobsled races. He was surprised to learn that the competitions would only involve one-person teams. That meant Sturm would have to drive the sled himself. In two races, Sturm placed second and then first. Those results made him the para bobsled world champion. Sturm hopes to grow the sport among adaptive athletes.
So my goal is get us noticed, compete when I can, and recruit as many people into the sport as I can.
Sturm's goal for bobsledding is similar to his goal with nearly everything he does in his life.
Being able to do this work, being able to get up in the morning and affect a positive change in people's lives is hands down what I live for and why I do this. What drives me and what is the most impactful part of my life and is my life is helping people.
I'm Marcia James.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.